Good to be home, amen. There's no place like home. So very glad to be back at home. Thank you for your prayers and thoughts towards us while we've been gone. We've certainly been thinking about you. And we praise the Lord for this fellowship and local church here that we can enjoy. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at Abraham and his challenge to us about prayer. Sunday night we'll be going having a more comprehensive look at Abraham as part of the Hebrews 11 series. And I want you to have a look at Romans chapter 4. Abraham is a believer in Christ and he is justified by faith. That's the way that they were saved in the olden day. In the Old Testament, that's the only way to be saved. Amen. The just shall live by faith, and faith is important in salvation, isn't it? By grace are you saved through faith. And that's a wonderful thing. Abraham knew that saving faith. Look at chapter 4 there of Romans. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. It's not of God. Works salvation is not of God. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we see Abraham a great example of a man of faith who trusted the Lord and who knew the saving power of God back in this olden time. And so it's interesting, as we look at the life of Abraham, we can learn so much from him. And tonight I'd like to look at chapter 18 and see the soul winner's heart. The soul winner's heart in Abraham. Something for us to think about. The soul winner's heart. And this man had a burden and a concern and a love and a compassion for souls. And we as the Lord's children should be the same way, amen? Mm. We should have a compassion and a concern for folk round about. And so we see Abraham in chapter 18 has just been reminded again of the miracle of Isaac, which is to take place. And the saving power of the Lord God, is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 14. And then we see here that there are men with Abraham and they are going to move camp. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. He went to show them the way to Sodom. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham, this is a tremendous verse, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, both Jew and Gentile, father of the Hebrew nation, but also the example of faith to the Gentiles such as us. Verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken, of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham now is introduced to what God is going to do. The judgment of God is going to fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God is going to deal with them because of their sinfulness and their wickedness and their ungodliness and their filth and vile behavior. And they're going against God and His word and His will. Oh, such filth that is in modern society. Amen? It's in modern society. This filth and this Sodomites and so forth. It's all around you. And it's there. And they're trying to push it right through and inculcate it into every aspect of education and everything that's around the place. Even when I went into the bank today, and there's a little rainbow thing on the bank, on the window of the bank. It ain't too swift. And you know what I want to do, don't you? But I know that I'd be on camera. I want to tear that off. And I've got more things to do than sit down in the Lake Illawarra jail or whatever it is. But boy, I just would like to tear that off, amen. That Abraham knew what was going to happen to this place. Now, it's interesting as you think back. He and Lot, his nephew, wasn't it, that went with him from Ur of the Chaldees. And he honoured the family commitment to take his nephew with him because his father, being Abraham's brother, was deceased, and he went with him. They journeyed down toward the promised land, and at a certain point there was trouble between Abraham and his family business. By the way, Abraham was a businessman. He had 351 employees. He had vast cattle and sheep, and God had blessed him richly and abundantly. Lot had some of those blessings, but not as much as Abraham. So we see an interesting sidelight on the life of faith of Abraham, how he was trusting the Lord and working hard in the work that God gave him to do as a shepherd of the Lord. So Abraham is aware of where Lot is. And over the years, this must have troubled and bothered Abraham to know that his nephew was in a bad place. In a bad place. There are bad places. There is Satan's seat where the devil seems to have control and where evil and sin seem to dominate, and the large cities of the world have quarters and parts within them that are filled with sodomites, and this kind of behaviour is going on, and now it's been made lawful. How sad that is. But it must have bothered Abraham that his relative was in such a condition and such a situation. And we haven't got time to go into it, but we know here, as you read the story here in 19 and check the history of this event, that Lot's life and Lot's family was all messed up. It was all messed up. They'd lived too close to Sodom. They lived in Sodom. It had affected them. The sin of association. Be careful of that. Yeah. It does make a difference what you believe and where you hang out. It's important. Not long after I was saved, I was walking down to the railway station in the old beloved Adelaide, which got to see it again. I was walking down there, and Dusty Rhodes says, "Let's just check into this pub and get a lemonade. It's a hot day. Let's check into the pub and get a lemonade." And I said, "Well," and I hadn't had a lot of teaching in the Word, and I said, "Well, this boy's not going in that pub. Amen. Can forget about it. Yeah, if you want to go in there, I'm heading down to the station, okay?" He caught a train that way and I caught a train that way and what have you, and I don't know how long he stayed there. But it's bad, you know, where people hang out, and hanging out in a bad place. But what really I want to bring out here is that Abraham still had compassion upon Lot and his family. They were relatives. they were relatives. We've spent a bit of time, four or five-ish weeks with relatives. We've stayed under their roofs. We've walked in their moccasins, as it were. And we had a lovely time, and so forth. But sometimes relatives and family, sometimes different ones, do bring us grief and concern about their situation and what they're into and where they are. So Abraham had a real burden and a love and a compassion for Lot and his family. And Abraham began to pray that the Lord would not destroy this city. And we again look at it there in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" This is chapter 18, 23. "And peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, and slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous and the wicked? But Lord, what if there are 50 people? Now we discover something else about Abraham had compassion for Lot and these unsaved folk. And he also was a man of prayer. He didn't have a prayer time, he had a prayer life. He had communion and fellowship with the Lord, and he has this conversation with God, which is very interesting and exposes the heart of God and the kind of God we have. We do not have a galvanized God who's made up of galvanized iron. Get the drift, the galvanized iron, you know. God's got a list of the saved and a list of the lost, and bang, that's how God works. No. "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" God was going to judge this city, going to judge this place. But Abraham had compassion. 50 good people there, Lord. Going to kill them too. They're going to die as well. So it goes on. So Abraham says, "Well, what if there's 45? How about 45, Lord? 45, will you save the city for 45? God says what? Amen? God says,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. But Lot is still burdened. The soul winner is burdened about people. He is interested in numbers of people as well. What are you, a scalp counter or a headhunter? What are you? You just count up the number of people you say are saved and all this sort of thing. You're just a numbers person. Well, God is interested in numbers of people, and so should we. Abraham was 45, Lord. So then Abraham is still burdened for the city, and in verse 29, "And he spake to him yet again, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake." So the Lord is showing his heart of compassion. Abraham is involved in this. Lord, will you deliver these people? Deliver these people. His heart was for souls. This is how we should be. We should have a heart for souls. Now, these people were not in a good place. They were in a very sinful place. Their lives were taken over with much sin. And we ought to be concerned about that. We ought to be burdened about that. And he was. And we should be concerned about how many folk we have brought to the Lord. How many souls have you brought to Christ this year? How many did you bring to the Lord last year? Really, the best way is to think about it in the last 10 years. Because it takes time to win people to the Lord. A lot of effort and blood, sweat and tears and prayer. A lot of prayer. So Abraham is praying this through and pleading with God to save the city for the sake of the deliverance of 40 righteous people. And so it goes on. What about 30, Lord? What about 30? And then 20 in verse 31. 20 righteous people be found there. And then in verse 32. I let not my Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. This is the last time I'm going to ask you, Lord, about this. Peradventure there be found there, and there be 10 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Abraham had spent a season of prayer. We don't know how long it was, but this was quite a considerable amount of time as he pleaded with God for the sake of these wicked people and this wicked city, how he pleaded for the deliverance of the righteous in the city. How he had a heart for people, a concern, a burden, a compassion. And it was turned to prayer, and his heart was moved by this. Oh, it must have been terrible for him to see the city in such a mess and the sinfulness of it, and Lot being and his family being so close to the judgment that was about to fall. But it says that God answered the prayers of Abraham. And because of that, Abraham saw the Lord deliver Lot. And it came to pass in verse 29 of chapter 19, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. God is interested in the prayers of his children as we pray and intercede on the behalf of lost people wherever they might be. Needy people wherever they might be. And backslidden believers wherever they might be. Lot was in a mess. He knew the Lord. I believe that he knew the Lord. He had the righteousness of faith. Yes, I think so. But his life was wasted in that place. He had a saved soul and a wasted life. How sad that would be to have such a thing and to be within a breath of judgment for the wicked life that he lived. You know, Abraham was pretty obstinate. Lot was very obstinate as well, because when he was directed where he should go to leave the city and go to the mountains, he wouldn't do that either. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Oh, what a backslidden condition. How terrible this was. God was showing him through these angels that came and visited him. How many of you had a couple of angels come and visit you lately? And one of our relatives, young guy, a little bit charismatic, said, the angels be with you, Pastor, on your way home. Especially when you're doing under 110. Whatever that meant, I don't know. A bit wacky. But here, these two angels had come. They had spoken with Lot. They had begged and pleaded with him. Get out of here, Lot. Get out of this mess. And you know, the angels were speaking, ministers of God sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Is God saying to you tonight, you need to get out of some things. You need to get out, escape to the mountain. Separation is taught in the Word of God. And here this man was to separate himself from Sodom and Gomorrah. But see the problems? See his heart? See how caught up he was in that? And how that God was wanting to get him out? And it was that God remembered. Look at that. God remembered Abraham. God delivered Lot for Abraham's sake. the power of prayer.
Amen.
That's a tremendous challenge for those of us who would seek souls and seek to bring souls to Christ and live our lives in that regard. The Lord remembers the prayers of his saints. He will come through in saving power. He is able to deliver backsliders like Lot. He is able to save sinners like the Sodomites. He is able. His power and his touch is still its ancient power. It is not too hard with him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's interesting that God should tell Abraham this just prior to announcing the news of what's going to happen, and how that Abraham then went to prayer, believing the promises of God. And even his old wife Sarah, she started to get with it as well. She realized she's going to have a baby. She's no longer scorning God and laughing silly. Now she's beginning to get happy about it, and Isaac means happiness. That's another day, another sermon for another day, amen. But look at this man's compassion and heart for these people, the mess that they're in. What a challenge for us today. And you know, we know the way the world is. We know the mess that folk are in and places are in and the evil that is around. Let's not stop praying. In fact, let's pray more. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to the deliverance of Lot. Prayer is the key to the deliverance of lost souls. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Put your face towards the Lord and commune and cry out to God for his intervention and the salvation of needy souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Abraham and the testimony of this man and his love for these dear needy people. Lord, teach us what it is to be compassionate, yes, and to love people, to love the unlovely, to pray for those that despitefully use us even, and to seek the salvation of souls. Make us a people of prayer. Cause us to be like Abraham and cry out to God. Call upon the Lord on the behalf of needy men and women. Do a work among us, we pray. And as we go out with the gospel, Lord, may we see precious souls won and a great work done, not only throughout Newcastle, but across the land and on the islands of the sea as the gospel goes forth around the world. Bless your labourers, Lord, and give them fruit and souls for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.